It is quite unusual for those who are visiting for me to be playing music and also to be preaching. I used to preach at a Baptist church and said, come along and preach. I thought, well, that sounds nice. And when I eventually, they told me what I had to do. I had to run the entire service and preach. And then he said, well, why didn't you bring your guitar? I thought, no, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. So, we continue our Olympic-inspired preaching theme. This week we're looking at the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Ian does a great job. He organises all the preaching rotas, and this is what he said in the bit I had to do. Most of the media attention during the Olympics focuses on the greatest athletes who are winning medals, as he's already said. But there are many more athletes who do not win medals. What happens when those athletes don't come true? What lessons can we learn from them when our dreams don't come true? I thought it was a really nice piece. Thank you, Ian, for teeing this up. Team GB have BMX disaster with Kai White injured and Bethany Schreiber coming last. Now, that was a newspaper headline following the Olympic BMX racing final over the weekend, last weekend. Who watched that? Oh, a few of us did. Laura and I watched all the men's and women's BMX races. They are fast and furious. Kai White, to be fair, struggled right from the start. But Bethany Schreiber was the first in all her heats, the quarterfinals and the semifinals. She was an absolute racing certainty for gold. But after a poor start, found herself eighth, the last place. And actually, Laura and I were really gutted for her, to be honest with you. It was a real shame. She was interviewed afterwards, and this is what she said. I've loved every single moment of being here. Sometimes it can't always go to plan. That's just life. I gave my all into this. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I've got friends, my family here, and that's all that matters. What is interesting, all those interviewed said similar things. When Josh Kerr, again tipped for gold in the 1500, came second, he said, it was the race of a lifetime. And he actually achieved his personal best. He achieved everything he hoped for. I found it heartening not to hear bitter words from those who lost. They congratulated the winners and they were gracious in defeat. Some of you might remember Boris Becker, who was knocked out in the early stages of Wimbledon, which was a massive shock. When interviewed afterwards, asked how he felt. They always ask, how do you feel having been knocked out? How do you expect me to feel? He said, I lost a tennis match. I didn't lose a war. Nobody died. I love that. I love that face. All these athletes, unless in planning to retire, will have a rest and then start training again. And there'll be other races and events and circuits they'll need to prepare for, to working towards their goal. So the first thing we can learn from the athletes is we can deal with issues and setbacks with grace. Not all athletes are gracious in defeat, but the examples I have given in doing so are great role models. Likewise, when things go wrong for us, we have a choice either to be bitter or we can lean on the Holy Spirit to enable us to deal with things in a gracious way. Some years ago, I worked with a minister friend of mine to create a community centre on a very challenging estate in another part of the country. He was initially supported by his wealthy sending church, but as the years progressed, the support dwindled. Personally, I felt this was very unfair, and actually, on his behalf, I was really incensed by the treatment he received. However, my friend never stopped being gracious, despite the difficulties it caused him and his family, and it's something that I've never, ever forgotten. Ian often talks about doing things in the spirit of grace and gentleness. I love that phrase, the spirit of grace and gentleness. And this is the thing that marks us out in as Christians, how we deal with things. And I have to confess, I'm not always gracious. And that's a good job we have confession at the end of the week, isn't it? Where we can come and say, I'm really sorry, God, for all those things that I thought and done. The second thing we can learn from the athletes is perspective. They play a long game to achieve their ultimate goal. In verse 2 of our reading today, the writer clearly lays out our goals as Christians. If you like, our long game is to look to Jesus, who has gone before us, suffered on the cross for us, so that we might have eternal life. This is our gold medal. Our ultimate destination is to be with him. And earlier Ian focused on that word forever. That's forever. Now we need to let that sink in, because our life is ultimately temporal. Forever. And life has its ups and downs as Christians. We're not exempt from things going wrong. Sadly, around the world, there are those who peddle a gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity, which is, if you have enough faith, all will be well with you. This is not the gospel of Christ crucified. Nowhere in the New Testament are we promised an easy life. Jesus, the founder, was vilified, tortured, and executed. His followers suffered similar fates and continue to do so today. How could St. Paul write teaching letters and St. Peter and Silas sing hymns of praise from prison cells? Because they knew their ultimate destination and were prepared to suffer for future glory. Jesus went through the agony of the cross to prepare a way for us. And as we know, on Easter Day, the glorious resurrection. And that is our hope. That is our ultimate destination. And whilst we may not face persecution in this country, we will have and will face difficulties. It's part of being a human being. We can face them knowing there is an eternal goal that brings hope. We'll also not be on our own in difficult times, because Jesus will be by our side. He's there and he understands whatever we are going through. And sometimes it might not feel like it, but he is there. We can absolutely guarantee that. And actually, I found that a great comfort when facing challenges in my life. God has, we sung earlier, God is faithful. God is indeed faithful. Thirdly, athletes can teach us about perseverance. Having been defeated, athletes don't just pack up and look for a day job, although I suppose some of them might do. They get back to their training regime. Last week, Ian talked about training as Christians, so we don't become flabby in our faith. Training involves spending time with Jesus in prayer, learning more about our faith through the Bible, and being with other Christians, like today, or in a small group, or reading a Christian book, or spending time with Christian friends. After a defeat, athletes will talk with their coach and trainers. Likewise, when things go wrong for us, we can pray and talk with our Christian brothers and sisters who will encourage us and support us. And I have to say, this church is brilliant at it. There have been times when I've been really, really low in my life, and folks here, and they know who they are, have been there for me. And that's how we can get through our life when things go wrong. Romans 5 says this: since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is a chain reaction to setbacks. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I really like that. That's a really sort of virtuous line. And it's true, when I was working for a property company, and actually my life was, it was hell, actually. And as I used to walk across Queen Square in the morning, going to that office, I learned how to pray, because I knew the day would be brutal. And I learned how to pray before every meeting, before every time I had to spend with my boss, I prayed. And what it taught me is I could pray any time. I could pray all day, and I continued into that habit because of that really tough time. And I will never forget walking across Queen Square at 8:30 in the morning, whatever time he'd got me up to drive his car somewhere. As Ian has said, being a top athlete is brutal. Great Britain sent 327 athletes to the Games out of an eligible population of 16.7 million. That's one in 51,000 actually gets to the Games. They constantly have to deal with injury, disappointment, defeat and being dropped from teams. It's a harsh reality that someone else not being in form or being injured gives an opportunity for a teammate to take their place. Because of this, athletes develop huge amounts of resilience and character. They continue because they have an ultimate goal that one day they might win. Likewise, the things that develop us as Christians are having to deal with challenges. The reason for this is that during times of difficulty, we draw our strength not from ourselves, but God. So often we draw our strength from ourselves. But actually, that's not how God wants us. He wants us to draw our strength from him daily. And not just when things are tough. Lots of people pray, whether you're Christian or not, when things are tough. Praying every day is really important. I love that song, Rejoice, Rejoice. It's got a line in it. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities. The very things that we struggle with are the things often that actually are the greatest things for him. When I first started to go into prison, I used to visit someone who was in Sunday school with me as a boy. It wasn't that kind of Sunday school, by the way. They didn't all end up in prison. He was serving 11 years for a very serious offence, or very serious offences. He told me about his life, which was awful. His dad was in jail. His stepdad was in jail. Care, Borstal, prison. He was in Winchester prison, and three of his brothers were in there at the same time. He then asked me about my life. Oh, he hadn't passed any exams, by the way. He hadn't got anything at all. Nothing. He had no qualifications. No, nothing. He then asked me about my life. I told him I had a brief unsuccessful time in the army. I failed to become an army officer. And then spent a miserable 6 years failing accountancy exams. He beamed at me and said, "That's great. You're a failure just like me." I said, "Yes, that's right, I am." Ministry in prisons and beyond for me started with a moment like that. Walking in brokenness. I once was talking at a dinner party with some people from another church, and one of the person next to me said, "Oh, it's so difficult being the perfect Christian wife and being the perfect mother." And I said, "I'm not sure if that's what life's about, is it? Isn't it walking through life in our brokenness with Jesus Christ by our side?" And she goes, "Oh, yes, perhaps." Bless her. Bless her. Understanding that Jesus walks beside us in our brokenness is ultimately what gives us hope that we can share with others and in turn extend his kingdom. So I hope you've learned a little bit from the athletes today. You'll at least have some statistics to tell people. But if you remember one thing, is that Jesus Christ walks with us every day, and it is forever, going back to what Ian said earlier, ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.